Welcome to our late afternoon session on accreditation and the Environmental Public Health Performance Standards. We have a great set of presentations for you today, but even more importantly, we're interested in getting your feedback, your really good questions, your input on where you are with accreditation or whether you've used any of the performance standards. So we'd like this to be a very interactive session. And one of our speakers, Patrick Bone, was not able to be here. I will be presenting his slides. So we still have four presentations, but we have plenty of time for lots of dialogue and questions. So we'll look forward to hearing from you about your experience and questions. And if you haven't gotten involved yet in accreditation and environmental public health performance standards, we hope you will, and we hope we can answer any questions about how you can do that. My name is Sarah Cochin. I'll be the moderator for the session. And my background is as a former local environmental health administrator for the city of Albuquerque, and then associate director of the Institute of Public Health at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine, and was one of the people involved with CDC as they developed the Environmental Public Health Performance Standards, which are a module of the National Public Health Performance Standards. So I'll be talking a little bit later on about why those were developed, who's been using them, and some of the results they've started to see. But the reason this session is at the national meeting this year is because of its importance to equity in communities. We really believe that all people in communities deserve equity and access to excellence in public health services in their community. And both of these tools that you'll hear about today, both the accreditation process and the performance standards, are ways of assuring yourselves and your communities that you are understanding your community, you are targeting the services that they most need in a way that's appropriate for them, and evaluating and constantly improving those services. So we encourage you to think about those in that context. Our first speaker today is Dr. Kay Bender. And Dr. Bender is the president and the CEO of the Public Health Accreditation Board. So she's been involved from the very beginning and even before that in developing this whole accreditation process. Prior to that, she spent over 26 years in various positions in local and state public health practice in Mississippi. So a great background for understanding what it means to be accredited. She also served as the Dean of the School of Nursing and Associate Vice Chancellor for Nursing at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. She served on the Institute of Medicine Committees, The Future of the Public's Health in the 21st Century, and Who Will Keep the Public Healthy? So she's been in dialogue with lots of public health people over a long time about the priorities in our country. And she currently serves as chair of the APHA Education Board. And when you see her get up there, just tell her she needs a few more stickers on her badge. But she has been involved and from the heart, as you'll see. So Dr. Bender, welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you guys for being here. I'd like to believe you're here because you're really interested in the topic, not because it's kind of snowing outside and kind of yucky weather, but thank you. I echo what Sarah said about your commitment to the topic on a late afternoon when, if you're like me, you're getting a little bit just a little bit convention weary or annual meeting weary. I am passionate about this topic, and some of you have been in the other sessions. Somebody asked me earlier, said, you know, you're just talking all the time about accreditation. I said, I am, and I'm going to, because I really do believe that this is important. We are supposed to tell you about our financial relationships with commercial interest. I wish I had some to disclose. I might be driving a newer car or something, or going to Maui next week on vacation, but I don't, so there's that already taken care of. I want to talk to you today about, you know, we've been in the process of developing accreditation. How many of you have kind of been following our work and know a little bit about it? Okay. And we've just finished the beta test out in 30 sites across the country, and we tested just the materials that have been developed. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then kind of talk to you a little bit about one of the exciting areas that we're into now is not something that we had originally planned. It surfaced as we started vetting the standards and measures for accreditation. And that was actually the first group that approached us was the environmental health community, public health community across the country, and said, hey, you know, we've got some things to talk to you about. And we said, great, let's talk. And so we want to talk to you a little bit about how we're proceeding with that. And it's mushroomed, no pun intended there, into those kinds of dialogues with other groups within public health. So just to move on past, because many of you know this, but in case some of you don't, the Public Health Accreditation Board, or FAB, is a nonprofit voluntary accreditation organization. I get asked all the time if we're governmental because we are located in the D.C. area, but the preliminary work that Sarah mentioned that was done, and Pat Libby's in the room, he's one of the, when he was executive director of NACHO, was one of the founders of FAB. The study that was done leading up to that said that if we're going to develop accreditation for health departments in the country, it really should not be done by government. It should be done by an independent body that pulls together peers from across the country. And so from that, FAB was born. We were incorporated in 2007. Somebody asked me one of the other sessions, what have you been doing since 2007? And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, is what we've been doing since that time. Our job is to develop an accreditation program that will advance public health performance for state, local, territorial, and tribal health departments. So that's what we're charged with. So for the last 3 years, we, through a series of work with work groups that are representative of public health practice all over the country, we've developed standards and measures, 105 of them to be exact, for state and local, and now we're in the process of doing the same with tribal. We also developed the process that says you start here and you go through these steps and you end here, and then you start all over with reaccreditation. We developed a guide to accreditation that basically says these are the steps that you need to think about in getting ready. And then with the standards and measures, always there's interpretation. What did you mean when you wrote this, and how do we best try to meet it or document that we meet it in our health department? We developed a guide for site visitors, those peers that go out and review, training on all of that. And now we're in the process of evaluating and receiving the evaluation results so that we can make the revisions in all of those documents and processes before we launch the program in late summer, early fall of 2011. To me, that seems like tomorrow with the amount of work that we have to do. We have completed the beta test, and the evaluation of it is being completed now. We expect to have the majority of that information into our office by the end of the calendar year, and then we'll have to work on completing those revisions. The environmental health community has been very involved with us. We've had members of our standards work group that have environmental public health background. And then the think tank that I'll talk about in a little bit. And then we had a number of our site reviewers, 26 to be exact, of the 97 who have environmental public health background. So I feel real excited about that as we move forward. There are other pieces that we're also developing that have to do with our information system, so that we ran an online system that we purchased off the shelf so that sites could upload their information electronically. Joy Harris from Iowa was in the room and was an accreditation coordinator at one of the beta sites. Joy will be the first to tell you that wasn't a perfect system. So we're trying to design a closer to perfect system as we launch the program. We're also working, now that we have some information on cost, on the fee structure. Environmental Health started this rampage, if you will, this mushrooming effect of other kinds of what I call chunks of program areas, like chronic disease and MCH and laboratory and groups that want to have dialogue with us about how their work and their program standards relate to accreditation. We like that. That's great. And then when the consideration of special standards is that I am so glad you came back and got that. We were worried about that, so thank you for picking that up. Special situations. We developed the standards and measures to accommodate, if you can envision a bell curve, the majority of the health departments in the country, because that's where we needed to start. But as you all know, how many of you work in a health department of some variety, or the rest of you work in an environmental public health kind of agency? Academia? The rest of you don't work? Okay. That's Pat, yeah. On two ends of that bell curve, we have really large metro health departments like New York City and LA County and the really big complex health departments that we need to just see if those standards are robust enough to really describe the complexities of what they do. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have really tiny health departments that may not even provide all of the 10 essential services, and we need to think through what accreditation and that means to them. So that's what some of those special situations mean. These are our state beta test sites. Are any of you from any of these states? I know Joy's here from Iowa. Anybody live in any of these states? No? You guys are not only don't work, you don't live anywhere, okay. These were our 8 states. We have a variety there. Some are centralized in that the state health department runs the local health department. Some are decentralized, some are mixed. We have large states and small ones, you can see from that. We had 19 local health departments. Same thing, we had really tiny health departments. We had our largest health departments were Miami-Dade County and Austin-Travis. As far as locals, all over the country, all kinds of organizational structures. And both at the state and local, with respect to environmental health, we had various configurations of who provides environmental public health services. And in most cases, we found out it's just all over the place. Maybe the health department does some, and there's another agency that provides others. But in either case, we understand environmental public health as a huge cornerstone for what health departments do. And so whether the health department does it themselves or has a partner agency that actually conducts many of the activities, we still want to consider that in accreditation. We had 3 tribal health departments to go through the beta test, and we had a think tank around tribal public health going on. Does anybody work in tribal settings? No, not that. Does anybody work at Dairy Queen? Okay. I'm going to find out, Sarah, before it's over with, where these people came from. What we've learned is that the standards and that are associated with public health accreditation should be the same. As far as if you're going to say you're a health department here, the kind of things, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. When it comes to tribal public health, though, the language is different. What they may call a certain kind of process or document will vary just because their governance is different. They work in sovereign nations, and so it's not quite like a state health department. Right now, we're in the process of editing or tweaking, if that's a word, our standards with a tribal work group so that we will have a tribal-specific version in 2011 as we launch the program. That's been really fun and exciting work. There they are if you want to just see their distribution across the country. We think we got pretty good representative sample. So as far as beta tests goes, all 30 of them have completed all their work. Joy, are you all done with at least our part of the beta test? She says. And I would say from the VAB standpoint, early findings and our evaluations already shown this. It was successful, and accreditation will be successful because of the collaboration and commitment of a lot of people. I can't say enough about the important role of the accreditation coordinators, and that's what the role Joy played, although she has another job that's something totally different in Iowa. The role of site visit team, Sarah was one of our site visitors. Do we have another site visitor? I don't see another one in there. Oh, hey, you're kind of hiding back there. So we have 2 site visitors in the room, yeah, and an enormous amount of work on their part and a great perspective. You guys will be pleased to know, if you don't know already, the site is one of the consistent comments we got from the beta sites was how impressed they were with their site visit team and how great it was to have real people to come to their health department to do the review. I don't know who they thought we were going to have come, but the real people part was good. And then our national partners and our funding partners from Robert Wood Johnson and the CDC and our national partners from ASTO and NACHO and NALPO and NIHB, the National Indian Health Board, actually went along as observers. And they provided information to us about how to improve the process. I'm going to skip that part. So here's the slide I really want to show you. There were 97 site visitors. We had about 3 to 4 per team, depending on the size of the health department. Of the 97, 41 were either deputy or director level, either at state or local. 26 said they had environmental public health experience, and as you can see from this slide, I didn't just put this slide together for this presentation. If you've been in my other ones, you've seen this one. That's the way it shook out, and so when we had our first dialogue with the environmental public health community, one of their requests was, how can we be involved in the beta test? And we said, well, apply to be a site visitor, and they did, and brought a great perspective to that. 10 had tribal public health experience, 5 from public health labs, and the others had overall public health programs experience. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe they'd been a program director for tobacco and diabetes or maternal child health. And the one criteria that applied to everybody is they had to have at least 5 years experience in public health and at a level where they could review the material in a comprehensive way. So what's been our partnership with the environmental public health community? Back in 2009, when we put the standards out for public vetting, the environmental public health community is the most organized group I've seen in a long time. They got really well organized and gave us, I think, 60 pages or something. No, some phenomenal number of pages of very detailed, very good comments about suggestions they had for not only improving our standards and measures, but including environmental public health. We were not able to incorporate all of their suggestions in time for the version that went out for beta test, but they're still on the right-hand corner of my desk in the office, and as we're editing and revising the next time, a lot of their suggestions will come back into play. We certainly have gone on record, we've said publicly any number of times, that we very much understand that you really can't run a public health department without having environmental public health either as part of the direct service, as I said, or in partnership. And what we've learned from the beta test, and you guys that work in environmental public health already know, boy, that's variable all over the country. We had health departments in the beta test that their primary service was environmental public health. And we had health departments in the beta test that when we said, who provides your environmental public health, they said, we think that's another agency. And then we had all kinds in between that certainly have great working relationships. Those are the kinds of issues that we want to use the accreditation platform to try to float all the boats up a little bit higher and float them not in the septic kind of way, but try to put a little levity here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So we collectively decided that we would partner, and Dr. Buchanan's division at CDC, the Division of Environmental Health, partnered with us to hold the Environmental Public Health Think Tank. We held that in December of last year. I can't believe it's been almost a year. Wow. And here were our objectives. The think tank is a process that is a very deliberate, prescribed process model that FAB adopted early on to work through issues that aren't just about revising the standards and measures, although could be a part of it. But we were exploring whether they could be strengthened related to environmental public health. And the second one, of course, as I've already mentioned, ways in which environmental public health staff could be involved. to define actionable items that would lead to the use of accreditation standards and the environmental public health standards that you're going to hear about in a little bit together to improve public health. And then, of course, all of our think tanks result in solid, actionable recommendations to our board of directors to improve the process. And Pat Libby, who is in the room, facilitated that think tank for us, and we had a good time. We had a very open discussion and a lot of honest, I think, discussion about accreditation and its relationship to the performance standards. You know, back home, so to speak, in the health department, it can get really confusing for staff where you've got programmatic standards and maybe discipline-specific core competencies and standards. And then, you know, we've got the National Public Health Performance Standards, which are about the system. And now we have accreditation standards. And when you're just trying to do your work every day and get through the day, it can be pretty confusing. So what we're trying to do, I think, is to take the sort of the web away and talk about how these relate together. And you know, they're not conflicting at all. They're congruent in improving the health of the public in the jurisdictions that health departments serve. We talked about, as I said, ways for environmental public health practitioners to be involved in the beta test. They were. And then we identified issues that we thought might be issues after the beta test, but we didn't start the beta test until after this think tank. And so we'll reconvene after early 2011. And our plans there are to get the same group of about 30-ish back together. To look at the beta test results specifically with respect to the environmental public health piece, to hear from some of our site reviewers with environmental public health background about their perspectives on the process, and then we'll revisit the recommendations that the environmental public health community made just to see if they still like their own recommendations. I mean, I think we've collectively learned a lot from the beta test, and I never shall forget, we had a couple of standards, our standards development work group, well, we had probably 10 of the 20 that were site visitors, and I was on a couple of site visits with them. Now, these are the people who had actually written the standards and measures, okay, over a course of about a year. Now they're out in the field actually trying to apply them and review documentation. A couple of them that I was on site visits with said, "What were we thinking when we wrote this?" I mean, that's why you do a test, right? And so I suspect, Sharonda, I don't know, but I suspect that the environmental public health community, now that some of you guys have been on the beta test, might say, you know, our recommendation sounded good, but now that we've tested the real world, here's a better one. And that's what makes all of this so exciting to me, is that we're improving everything we do together. So as I said, we'll be using all of this to edit and revise the documentation and the process so that we can launch the program in 2011. So, Sarah, do you want to take questions now, or do you want, okay. Everything that I talked about is on our website, subject to change, but it's there. We're going to leave it up until we do edit them, and we have a booth at 1713 with some additional information. But I'll take questions, or from those of you in the room who've been involved with us as a beta site, a site visitor, and Pat certainly with both from an HO standpoint in the past, or as the facilitator of the Environmental Public Health Think Tank, I'd welcome comments. And Justin helped us as well too. Thoughts? Yes.
My name is Laura Larson. I'm from Montana State University, where I teach public health at College of Nursing. But I also sit on our city county board of health, and I do my research, my environmental health research, through the health departments in the state. So that's why I didn't know when to raise my hand earlier.
So you really do work. Yeah, okay.
Just where is hard to say. My question is kind of a question slash comment, in the sense that in starting to do my research, I've been able to have access to a lot of different health departments around the state. And I notice very anecdotally that some health departments who have a full-time health officer and and a well-articulated public health and environmental health program, whether they contract that out or perform it themselves, seem to be pretty healthy and functioning well. And then I've had the opportunity then to be in others where they don't have a health officer. And so the environmental divisions and the public health divisions, which I think is kind of a misnomer, it's all public health, so it's our official division, but see themselves very separately, don't integrate any of their services, and don't function as well. Don't have any good communication. In a lot of cases, they're not even in the same building. So I just wondered about, one of the things we talk about on our Board of Health is integrating environmental and public health to the greatest degree we can. And I wonder about accreditation, if there's anything within those standards to get those county health departments that are operating as discrete entities to sort of get it, that they have some integration that they need to take on.
Yeah, and kudos to you for being a Board of Health member also engaged in that, because several of the other presentations, one of which you heard, we talk a lot about the leadership that's so important and the engagement of the governance entity. So I'll speak to that part first, and then I'll get to your question. But one of the things that was immensely obvious during the beta test is that for sites that had a director or local health or state health official or tribal council leader, where the leader set the tone and said, you know, this is going to be work. It's going to be tough. But where that leader set the tone, and then I'm looking at Joy because, you know, I can brag on Tom Newton, his state health officer in Iowa. That's Joy's boss. And he said, we're going to do this, and everybody's going to be involved. And I think Joy would tell you that made her job easier in terms of getting the people together that you're talking about. So I think the leadership of the engagement of the board, the governance entity, whatever that is, as well as the leader at the top. Now, when there's not a designated or a leader at the top, I think it is harder, and I don't know the answer to that either, except that somewhere there has to be that commitment. But to your other point, one of the slides that I didn't include today because we've used it so much, I think most people have seen it, and it's the slide that shows that our standards are grouped in the 10 domains that really relate to the 10 essential public health services, as are the environmental public health standards that I believe, and then the one on governance. There are several places throughout those standards where we have asked and will strengthen our ask, working with the environmental public health community, of health departments to demonstrate how they work with environmental public health. We're not as clear on it in the current draft as we will be. But for example, I have 26 years at state and local level. I grew up in a utopic environment, but you know, I, as a public health nurse starting out in a county health department, my best friend was in those days, I'm going to date myself, the local sanitarian. And I can't get my arms around how, whether they're in the same building or not, how they don't work together when you're talking about disease outbreaks. I mean, I've been to dairy barns with our environmentalists, you know, they're called environmentalists now in my home state. But, you know, just working those programs together where the communicable disease follow-up and the regulatory kind of side and the education that we both had to provide about how to do things better to prevent that in the future. So we've, out of the 10 domains, we've identified probably 4 or 5 of them that are just abundantly clear, whether it's surveillance and disease outbreak or you're talking about policies or forcing laws and regulations, or you're educating the public. So that's part of what I expect to come out of our next think tank. And Shrenda, feel free to...
I was going to talk a little bit about that as well. And she's focused on environmental public health. And she doesn't have to be integrated in my presentation. It's it causes these entities to come together. Over time, we've seen in various places a divide, in some cases a divorce, of public health and environmental health. And everybody knows that my old saying is, in the beginning it was public health, and with public health it was environmental health. So how can we, you know, divide these things? But the fact that we're in the process of accreditation, we have the standards that are being offered to you. It forces, to some degree, gently forces the sides to come together. So that's another benefit, the thing about the standards and the accreditation process. And that's what we want to have.
The flip side of that, though, is also a couple of places in our beta site where basically the only service that the health department is providing is related to environmental, it's enforcement part of environmental and public health. And so the flip side of that, we're also pushing. And that is, you know, okay, so you're a health department. It's great you're doing this environmental health work. Where are your other partners for the rest of the story with regard to public health? And so, you know, we've got examples of both of that, and I think Sharonda's right. It's just an excuse. It's to get together, and it pushes gently to say, but we're going to be asking those questions, and we're going to be asking the question also with your current role about where's your Board of Health in all this. Yes, Joy.
Can I just say that it's easier if environmental health is at the table to meet the standards? They have evidence in the areas that other people don't. And so I really think people will be beating their head on the table if they don't have environmental health at the table.
Yeah, Pat?
Seems to me also that some of the standards and measures accreditation process, in a sense, speaks to the whole agency and transcends organization and programmatic. I mean, if you're doing good outcome evaluation but only doing it in a program area and not another, so you are doing it in environmental health but not in chronic disease or other parts of communicable disease, it begs the question, does that entity, in this case the health department, stand for the credit? The fact that you're doing it in one program doesn't transcend necessarily and mean that it is the norm and behavior of the agency as a whole. And it begs the question, is that accreditable? Have we made a verb out of that?
No, we should. We'll tweet about that tomorrow.
And there are some sets of standards, some of the regulatory ones and protection ones that will drive you closer to environmental health, but it doesn't exclude. Being based on the 10 essential services, they are framed around a given program. You're not evaluating programs within a health department or measuring. You're measuring the whole. And I would hope that the act of looking at it that way will also serve over time to bring that closer together. If nothing else, economies of scale. Maybe having a means of doing that agency-wide will prove more efficient